In the spring of 1998, my wife and I had the opportunity of leading a small group of people into the central mountains of Tibet, of the Tibetan Plateau. Of the many reasons we went into this journey, one of the reasons for me, the primary reasons, was my sense, my suspicion, that perhaps the great libraries house the written records, and that the monasteries of the monks and the nuns were preserving the traditions of a culture that preceded them, that of the ancient Essenes. We know best the traditions of the Essenes from their writings in the Dead Sea Scrolls. We know that they originated about 500 years before the birth of Christ, that they created communities suited to their lifestyle of honoring the great traditions and the esoteric teachings of our world. We also know that after the crucifixion, they dispersed into the world, that some of them went into the jungles and the mountains between Bolivia and Peru. Some of them came into North America and settled in the American desert southwest. Others, we're told, found their way into the Himalayan mountains in the Tibetan tradition. So my sense was that perhaps we would see those traditions preserved to this day. And if so, the value of this journey is as follows. Rather than speculating on what their prayers and their traditions meant from benign texts that we witnessed thousands of years later, we could actually interact with the people who were living the traditions. So we had a very heartfelt exchange among the peoples that we visited, and in that exchange, there was an honesty and an openness in the way they answered, and they began sharing with us about their prayers. And sure enough, what they affirmed through their traditions of prayer validated my sense of what I had seen referenced in some of the oldest texts of the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the Book of Enoch, for example, regarding this lost mode of prayer. In my training, and I was brought up in a relatively conservative Midwestern community where prayer was more about a time of either giving thanks or of asking that something come to pass. And those were kind of the modes of prayer that became my background. And as I journeyed out into the world as an adult and studied ancient traditions and cultures, what I found was that there were other modes of prayer that really weren't accounted for in the Western traditions. Western research today identify four modes of prayer. They say that we use individually or in conjunction with one another. The reason I'm sharing that now is because in the mystery schools and in these Essene texts, it appeared that there was another mode that didn't fit into those categories, a fifth mode. And now, having recovered the texts through the Dead Sea Scrolls, now the Vatican vaults and the lost books of the Bible, and having correlated that and validated it through our conversations with the Tibetan monks and nuns, what we know is that there is, in fact, at least one additional mode, a lost mode, a fifth mode of prayer that allows us direct access to our bodies and the creative forces of our world.
This concludes session one of The Lost Mode of Prayer with Greg Braden. Our program continues with session two.